Happy Monday, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I hope you're all doing well today. I'm giving just a special little shout out to my mom in heaven who would have had a birthday today. Hi, Mom. Thank you. Tonight, I have a really, really cool author with me. She writes culinary mysteries. She's been on my show before. We've had so much fun talking about food because we are both crazy food foodies, good food foodies, and dessert foodies. Oh, it's sinful. Ellie Alexander has written the Bake Shop Mysteries series. Her number 5 book will be coming out a little bit toward the end of the year. So I'm really looking forward to reading that book. In the meantime, I am so happy that she's back. She's from the Pacific Northwest. She spends a lot of time taste testing pastry and, you know, all this other kind of coffee houses. And when she's not coated in flour, she's outside exploring, hiking, and trying to burn off the calories, you know, that she put on last year. Writing her books. This is a woman who bakes and cooks before she writes. It's great. Welcome back, Ellie Alexander, to Authors on the Air. How are you, my friend?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well.
Good. What's new? Well, first of all, tell me what the temperature is like where you are in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, I think everyone else in the country will be very upset if I tell you that it's pretty much perfection right now. It's about high 70s with a slight breeze and blue skies. It's beautiful.
And here on the southwest Florida coast, it was 100 degrees until the sun and the rain came at the same time. I'm not joking when I tell you, bright blue sky, a cloud, rain, bright blue sky, a cloud, and rain. And then when that all went away, it turned out to be perfectly beautiful for 30 minutes until we had the worst electrical storm of the season. So it's interesting. It doesn't make for a fun day. I want to order in all of your food, keep it here for 2 months until after the hot season passes. And the hottest season passes, and then we just go back to hot. Because, you know, in South Florida,
right,
it's hotter, hotter. Congratulations,
well,
on the release
in the Northwest.
Of your books, though. What?
Thank
oh, God,
you so
you're
going
to kill me, aren't you? Tell me what you say.
No,
Pacific. I know it's going to drive me crazy. Yeah, I know. Tell me.
We slog through just months and months and months of rain and cold, wet, lashing, horrific rain. So summer's really our payoff. Like 2 or 3 months that you get outside, and otherwise you're pretty much holed up. So, you know, it's all relative. We could talk again in January, and you'll be in gorgeous sun, and we'll be here in freezing rain.
Well, our two most beautiful months, I have to tell you, are January and February. Those are the nicest months. You don't need air conditioning. But other than that, 10 months out of the year, you need your AC on. It's just warm. Well, let's talk
right.
about cooking and books. What's new? First of all, have you found any fabulous recipes that you can share with us? Because I know you have.
Always. Well, actually, when you opened and said that this is your mom's birthday, I lost my mom about 10 years ago, and her birthday is July 20th. And so every year on her birthday, I bake her favorite birthday cake.
Which is?
And... yeah, so this one is called a dark chocolate cherry cordial torte that has layers of, beautiful dark cherries and then chocolate sponge, and then it's bathed in like an amaretto frosting and drizzle. It's amazing.
Oh, it sounds just like a total sin, and it's probably like 10,000 calories for a slice. But I wouldn't care. I would eat it anyway. Oh, my God. How delectable for you. Now, these are all original recipes that you come up with, aren't they?
Yes, they're all original recipes. And I keep saying, I don't know what is going to happen first. I'm either going to run out of ways to kill someone off, or I'm going to run out of recipes. I can't decide.
But you do an awful lot of recipes in your book. You know, almost at the end of every chapter, you can find a recipe and or two. It's just amazing to me. Now, you mentioned that before that some of these recipes are from your family and some you're just creating. Do your readers send you recipes too?
Yes, my readers send me recipes quite often now, and I would love to find a way to incorporate some of them into the books. I think that would be so much fun. So I've actually had a conversation with my editor and the team at the publishing house to see, like, is there a way that we could use or feature a reader recipe? If not in the books, perhaps I can do it on my social media. I'm just not sure how that works in terms of copyright and, you know, those sort of things. But yes, I get reader recipes. And I've tried to bake every one that someone has sent me, which has been really fun.
Have you found any that are so outstanding it just makes your eyes pop out and you salivate like crazy?
Yeah, and a lot of them feel really, it's kind of like talking about making my mom's favorite birthday cake to honor her memory. A lot of them, readers send in handwritten notes and they're on, you know, like the old index card style recipes.
Yeah.
One for a peppernut cookie at Christmas, and the reader was talking about how she's 85 and she's made them every year since childhood. So, I mean, it's not only just beautiful recipes, but the stories behind them are often really touching too.
Oh, I wish you could do something on a newsletter where you had a reader recipe every time you sent out a newsletter, something savory and something sweet. Wouldn't that be lovely?
That's brilliant, Pam. I'm going to do that.
There you go.
We're going to make it happen.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. And I will find you some of my mom's, because just like the old index card recipes you talked about, I have all my mom's cookbooks and all her handwritten notes. So I'm not as good as her. My mother was indefatigable in the kitchen. If she thought she wanted to try something, she found a recipe. In a million different probably ladies' magazines at the time. And one try and she'd whip it up, it'd be perfect. Now here's the funny thing. Even with it when it was just dinner meals or something, it was my mom, my dad, me, and three brothers. My mom and I and my middle brother were foodies. We loved all her creations. My father was one of those, give me pot roast with potatoes and carrots and I'm happy. And same with my other brothers. So it was a divided family. And after all, my father sat at the head of the table. So the comfy food won out for him, but she was an exceptionally good baker and pastry maker. She made a lot of pastries from Poland that she brought her grandmother's recipes with her and her mother's. Yeah. So, and a lot of Lithuanian recipes. Yeah. Stuff that, you know, and I love that, all the flaky with the nuts and the honey. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain that to you. You get it.
Well, in fact, my sister was over for dinner last night and brought a savory baklava with like feta and Kalamata olives and some nuts. Yeah, but it was that flaky. I know. So good.
I love that. Oh, my God, you're making me salivate. I should have eaten before I got on the radio. Oh, no, it sounds wonderful. But, you know, really, I think that would work. I bet you'd have a lot of fun and your readers would have a lot of fun sharing sweet and savory in your newsletter.
Well,
and I'm signing up.
There's something so touching about seeing those handwritten notes in cookbooks, and I just wonder, even for myself, it's really easy now to hop online and Google a recipe, or I have a few favorite cooking sites that I go to, but there's nothing really that compares with, like, a note in the margin and, like, splattered sauce on the pages and everything.
Oh, yes. Yep, my mom's cream puffs were like that. I have had that card out, I can't tell you how many times. From scratch, cream puffs, everything, just the best ingredients and all. And there's some there, I could probably go to for DNA analysis. And my mother and one of my brothers, my middle brother, his fingerprints and blood, sweat, and tears are on there as well. But it was a magnificent recipe, too. So, yeah.
I think you've just given me a new clue for a book, DNA fingerprints on a recipe card.
How about that? You need to call me
That's
more often.
Genius. I do.
I'm telling you.
Can you just be in my head 24/7?
Okay. Yes. Sure. Just send me a PM every day and you know, I'll tell you what's on my mind. So absolutely.
Okay.
I will tell you though that, and maybe you'll find this is true, that it was funny. We were talking before the show started and you said, oh, I have to find some low fat, some more, you know, healthier recipes and all, which when you're talking about desserts, it's really difficult to do that. However, I'm a huge fan of Splendid Table and all of those shows on NPR that talk about cooking. And have you found it really difficult to find really scrumptious recipes that are health conscious too?
Yeah, I have personally, just because that is not historically my style. I love all things butter, and I learned like you from my mom
course.
And my grandmother, these
right.
old traditions.
Sure.
But I do think one of the fortunate things about living in the Northwest, and this is probably true in Florida, it might just be more like citrus or tropical in terms of inspiration, is trying to work with native ingredients. So like I was talking about that
right.
cake, like I found cherries
yeah.
at the farmer's market. So especially in summertime, I am playing around with like flambéed peaches and a little rum, and any sort of fruit-based dessert that you make really doesn't require a lot of sugar because it has so much natural sugar. Now,
natural
the issue
sugar,
then right. becomes that I'm writing about a bake shop. So what's the reality that a bake shop is going to serve a lot of low fat? Probably not, but you never know.
Right. But your main characters, the mom and daughter, make their they make a savory soup, or they do wonderful sandwiches and all. I'm a huge fan of skinny and, you know, pressed sandwiches for grills and everything. And I'm using a lot of fresh herbs. Now, in Florida, our growing season, actually the plant that grows are probably the soil is being turned and everything is being chopped and cut right now. It will be covered with plastic by the end of August, and all of the plants will go into the ground then. And we have a very long growing season because we don't have to worry about that. We actually have a lot of summer crops also, watermelon, the sweet kissed honeydew, and those other things. So there are a lot of wonderful breads and torts that you can make, and pies and tartlets and things like that. You can use, you were saying, the flambéed fruits and all, wonderful stuff. But to get the citrus, we have to wait until we have a nice cold blast of air in Central Florida. Nothing down here, though. Well, I could talk to you about food all day and all night, but I want to talk about your books, too. Congratulations on how well the Bake Shop Mysteries series are doing. You have opened to rave reviews and continue to get rave reviews. I know RT loves your books. They've blurbed for you. I know I love your books, and I know plenty of others. You've gotten such amazing reviews on everything. Are you still having fun doing it?
Oh my gosh, I love it. I said if I ever get to the point where I'm not just beaming with delight. The new book, Caught Bread-Handed, came out last month, and I was in the bookstore the day the book released. I was in my local bookstore, and I'm holding a copy of my book, and these poor, unsuspecting women who were in the mystery section, I said, this is my book, this is my book, and they kind of backed away for a moment, like maybe I was crazy, and then they realized. But yes, I'm loving every minute of it. I'm having so much fun, and the fact that people are receiving it so well is all the better.
Yeah, Fresh Fiction loves you. Oh my gosh, they love it. I love your stories. Some of those mysteries are really not that easy to figure out, Ellie. I have to tell you, you're a fine chef, for a home chef and all. But I have to tell you, even in a restaurant, I'm sure you do very, very well. But you leave a really good tale too. So. We're laughing here because I said, okay, fingerprints, DNA on a recipe card and all. Is that what really happened to you? You have a thought like that and you say, hey, I think I can do something with that. I think I can write a story around it.
Yeah, it usually starts with that. It always starts with the actual murder. That's the first thing that I think about when I'm plotting a new book. And so in the fifth book that comes out later this year, which is titled Fudge and Jury.
Fudge and Jury.
Yes. I was in Ashland, which is where the series is set, and the Chocolate Fest was going on. They have an annual Chocolate Fest and bring in chocolatiers from all over the state of Oregon. And so I was kind of wandering through the booths and tasting, of course, because it has to be authentic. And someone nearby.
Research.
That's right.
Right.
Someone nearby kind of had a reaction to the chocolate. That's what I'll say, a reaction of some kind of the chocolate. And it threw them sort of into this panic. And I thought, wow, okay, well, wait a minute, chocolate and nuts. Like, what if somebody tasted something and it wasn't labeled as nuts? And this is a little bit of a teaser of what's to come. But that was sort of the initial inspiration behind then the whole book. And then from that point on, I go back and I sketch everything out backwards.
That is amazing. How do you know which recipes you're going to put in into your book? How do you decide? I have to assume the big recipe is going to be a fudge recipe, or at least one fudge recipe, maybe more. But how do you make the decision what kind of recipes you're going to put in your book? I want you to know, I used the chicken soup recipe that you had in your book, and cooked for a bunch of friends when they were over one night. It was magnificent. Thank you.
Oh, yay. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Okay.
Whittling down the recipes is one of the hardest parts. Often, because I write straight through for a first draft, I don't do any editing as I go. I will make just notes in the book about what Jules is baking without really thinking about a recipe at that stage. And so then at the end of the book, I will go through and really think about recipes. I'll let the manuscript sit and I'll actually go and to my home kitchen and bake and practice recipes and think about what makes sense. But what happens is I get reader email all the time referencing things that don't make the final cut because Jules is baking and cooking so much. So I actually do have a lengthy list of potential future recipes based on things that I've just tossed out there into the ethos. Then people are like, wait, where is that recipe for chocolate dipped mangoes? I don't know, whatever it is.
Right. Because I'm not mistaken when you put either one or two in each chapter. Is that correct?
Yeah, usually each book ends with between 8 and 9 recipes total.
Right, right. And they're always yummy too. And I'm always just saying, oh, working, if I live in a big house and not a small apartment, oh, if only, you know, that's my thing when I read recipe books. I have them everywhere. Oh, God, where's that go? So I want to talk about the new books. So let's start with book number 3, and that book was, let's see, Caught Red-Handed was, that was number 4, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay. So then, let's see. Number 4 was on thin icing, wasn't it? Was it on thin icing? Yes. Thin icing. Okay. So let's start with on thin icing because this one I thought was really, really cute. It just was so funny. And of course, I love everybody involved with the Shakespeare Festival, and this was it. I just loved it. It was so much fun. So give our readers a little sneak peek, please.
Sure. So in On Thin Icing, Jules has been tasked with going up to a high alpine lodge in the Southern Oregon Cascades, where the Oregon Shakespeare Festival Board of Directors is hosting a weekend retreat. And in true Oregon fashion, she gets snowed in, a blizzard hits, and power is shut off to the lodge. And she finds the lodge's bartender literally on ice. He is stuffed into the freezer at the marina, and she's on the case. And it kind of has a little Agatha Christie homage almost to it because one of my favorite Agatha novels is 10 Little Indians. So it's that idea of they're really closed in.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
is a tight group of suspects. And then, of course, it's delicious winter food. So lots of roasted chickens and dark chocolate cookies
and done
soups
in the brick oven, right? The brick oven, I think is what it was. Oh, my God.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
Who show up but her estranged husband?
Carlos.
Oh, my God.
He's on
Carlos,
the
you know,
yes.
I had not nightmares. I had dreams about him after I finished reading that book. And then after I read the next one, too. I'm so conflicted about that character. I really am. And, you know, I grew up in Miami. 60-70% of our population is Latino. I'm having these, oh, my God, flashes of gorgeousness, especially his personality is so great.
I know. Well, when I write him as a character, my husband is always like, who is Carlos? Like, where is this coming from? My husband is not Latino. You know.
I'm just telling him you have a good imagination.
Mind, I swear. Yeah.
Right.
I have
right.
a really strong imagination. I really loved On Thin Icing because in the first two books in the series, Jules has left Carlos on the ship. He's a Latin,
right.
dreamy, sexy chef and loves food and loves Jules. But she's left him. And we only get to know him sort of through her head. He's not actually alive on the page.
Right.
So On Thin Icing is the first time that he actually comes to life. And I had so much fun writing that. And then, of course, in the next book, Caught Red-Handed, book number 4, he is actually in Ashland, in Tort, Jules' kitchen, which is, I think, another really interesting way to show her growth as a character, because the
yes.
kitchen is a small space, and as the head chef and being in charge there and then having Carlos show up, there's definitely some tension and some heat, a little bit of heat.
Oh, there's definitely heat. There's definitely heat. I was so conflicted in this book. I mean, I think, I don't know if I sent you an email then or if I texted you or not, but I definitely had my ideas about things that could happen, you know, as a result
right.
of that book. And yeah, I mean, I had all these things going for me. I'm saying, okay, I'm emailing Ellie. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind to tell her how I feel about Carlos and what's going on here. But, you know, it had to happen the way you wrote it. And it was a brave step for you to take when writing it, because he is such a charming character. He's such a lovely, lovely character. And to move him off the page when you did is a remarkable thing. To move him on and change the whole dynamic of Jules and her mom and her friends and everything else, the way that he was left at the end of the book. I'm not going to say what happened, but the way he was left. It just is remarkable, and I know that he's one of your characters that we're going to see again, so I love it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to see him again, and
oh,
one
yeah.
of the pieces of feedback that I get from readers is about Thomas, her high school boyfriend who we meet first,
yeah.
and there were a whole group of readers who came to one of my book launches here with Team Thomas t-shirts, and they
That's
really
so
had
cool.
no love for Carlos. Whatsoever. They wanted no part
really?
Of Carlos. No, nothing to do with him.
Oh my
so
God.
I've been pleasantly surprised that when this book came out, I've had so many readers email and say, you know what? I'm conflicted now, kind of like what you're saying. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm Team Carlos. Maybe I'm gonna switch to some tapas and some Spanish wine and
yes.
But what I
Well
really
listen, after that
writing,
meal, you know, which that meal that you laid out was so reminiscent of so many restaurants I've been in Miami and other places that I've gone where it's, you know, a Spanish, Latino flavor and all. It was just, oh, scrumptious. And it made me want to jump in the car and drive over to Miami and just go there and have some great tempranillo and tapas and, you know, pastelitos and postres and everything else. It was just fabulous. It really was. And I can just hear his voice, too. I really can't. I can't tell you I'm Team Thomas. Not yet. I'm not convinced. I have to wait and see. But right now, I'm a Carlos fan right now. But we'll see. It could change. I could be fickle. You know, I could
It
be
could
fickle.
Change. But what I really love about their relationship is it's true. It's, I mean, relationships are complicated. It's not always easy.
Yes.
So, you know, Jules might have this deep love for him and they have passion, but where they're at this moment in their lives, they might not be right for each other. But maybe a few books from now they will be. I don't know.
It's a really great conflict you set up. You have set up the ultimate conflict, I think, because, you know, she obviously, Jules Capshaw loves being back at Tort. She loved having Carlos there. It was wonderful. And I think that he is kind of bigger. He's used to bigger. And Jules isn't so sure that's what she wants anymore. So it's a really fascinating dynamic you've set up there. And of course, I love her mom. Her mom is so cool. You know, that was my mom. Just cool like that. So, so I'm looking forward to Fudge and Jury, which will release in January, I'm happy to say. And I'm assuming that you're going through revisions and all of those wonderful things right now. But I do want to let everybody know that, indeed, that book is up right now and available for pre-order. It's called Fudge and Jury. It's the Bakeshop Mystery Number 5 by Ellie Alexander. So tell me what else is new and exciting in your life. What else are you doing besides me and writing?
Well, that is pretty much the extent of my life these days, cooking and writing and meeting a lot of readers. I've been on book tour for the last month, and fortunately, my husband and son tag along with me, so we've just made it into an adventure. So we took an epic road trip all the way from Washington State down to the edge of California, back up through Nevada. Lots of fun stops along the way. And then, of course, half the time I'm jotting down notes in my notebook because I'll be inspired by something I see or something we eat. But for the summer, I'm just really enjoying the weather. We do a lot of hiking and biking and kayaking here in the Northwest. So we try to get outside as much as possible.
That sounds fabulous. When you go to a restaurant where you feel the food is exceptional, do you ever ask to speak to the chef?
Let's see. I have asked a few times to speak to the chef, and now I feel like I have a little more street cred. Like, if I called the chef over, I might be able to say, hey, I write a culinary series. Before, you know, it might be to thank them or something, but now I've really partnered with a lot of chefs. And in fact, this coming weekend, I'm a celebrity judge at the Bite of Oregon, which is this big cook-off between culinary talents that have won James Beard Awards. And so I'm terrified because I'm judging them, and I'll be like, I love everything you're putting in front of me. I won't be a very harsh judge, let's say.
Well, you'll not say anything nasty. I can't imagine that coming from you anyway. But, I just was curious because I have a friend who's a chef, and when I go to Miami, he and his wife and I, we always are looking for new places to go. And so usually I'm the one who says, my friend's a chef, you know. And so then the chef comes out to meet him. And they're swapping recipes. They're talking about whatever that particular item there that was really, really good. And it's really nice, too. You know, we've had some lovely meals in some of the smallest little places that you would never imagine would have really great food. It's kind of like a diner's drive-in and dive place, you know, and some places that are quite nice and all. But I like it when you find those out-of-the-way places that, you know, have a little bit of history to them. They're not so...
I do, too.
Saying? Like, not so foo-foo, I guess. I mean, I love the foo-foo, don't get me wrong, but I do love being comfortable in a booth and being able to laugh and not have to be all dressed up. Because I want to, you know, unbutton my jeans sometimes and pull my T-shirt out.
You're eating.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the ultimate compliment to the chef. Yeah, whenever we're traveling, I always ask locals for recommendations. I never want to go to somewhere that, you know, all of the tourists are going. I want to go off the beaten path and try something that, you know, you would really have in Miami or, you know, wherever.
Well, the only place to go in Miami, I mean, you have to go to the Stone Crab. You've never had a stone crab.
Okay.
You haven't lived. And their key lime pie.
I haven't.
Which is.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, when it's in season again, I'm going to send you stone crabs. I'll have them shipped overnight. They're not to be believed with Joe's tangy mustard sauce, which you can get the recipe for. You'll be stunned at how amazing they are. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll have them shipped up to you. You'll be stunned. That's my most favorite thing to do. Every birthday, I call my middle brother and I say, okay, I'm coming over to Miami. I'll meet you at 12 o'clock in the bar at Joe's. This is a place to go, okay? It's not an inexpensive place at all. But everybody knows Joe's on South Beach. And so my brother always says to me, I think I'm going to try something other than stone crabs. And I'm swearing that the pod people have come down and replaced them with someone else. Because you just don't go to Joe's and not have stone crabs. It's just unheard of.
It's sacrilegious. It's not possible.
It is. It is. It's like going to the Pacific Northwest and not having fresh salmon or something like that. It would be crazy.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So, have you already thought about book number 6?
I have indeed not only already thought of book number 6, but I have the first draft of book number 6 sitting here in my office. I'm actually touching it. I'm physically touching it as we speak. Mm-hmm. Book number 6 will come out next summer. So we're always on a 6-month release schedule with this series, which
right.
is nice because
right.
I do think it's fun
yes.
to build your readership quickly. This
yes.
one, here's a spoiler for you. Get ready. This
do we have an exclusive on a title?
I think we might.
We have a
Crime of Passion Fruit.
Yeah,
oh, I love it. Jules has been lured back to the sea by Carlos. Don't hold your breath for too long. She's coming back to Ashland. I feel like I need to throw that out to all of my readers. But the pastry chef for the cruise line that she and Carlos worked at has stormed off the ship in a huff. And so Carlos calls and begs Jules for a favor. So Jules agrees to fill in temporarily just for a week while the chef is gone. And not only is she back on the ship, back in her old digs, back in her old life with Carla, but a stowaway is on board and Jules discovers the young girl floating in the pool on the Lido deck. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, I used to always take cruises because they're like this time's really bad, but they're mindless vacations. You don't have to plan anything. You just buy a ticket and you go to your room and everything is, now I'm not going on any
right.
cruises anymore. Yeah, I'm staying away from them. And you have to go really on one that has really good food because all the games and the activities and the tours are all the same, but you got to find one that has really good food. You know, and I've
yes,
taken a
and
lot
Jules,
of
course,
like,
is going to have good food
yes.
without a doubt.
Yes. Oh, my God. I can't wait until our fruit and vegetable season comes in. I'm going to overnight you a box of all the most interesting-looking fruits and vegetables, okay?
Okay, I would love that. Well, yeah, actually,
yeah.
right now, because that first draft is done, I'm just beginning the process of thinking of recipes. And, of course, they all have to be tropical. So, you know, tropical, as many tropical things as you can think of, send them my way.
Oh my God!
Course,
I'll go down
to
the farmer's market I'll go down to the farmer's market in South Dade, in the very south end of Florida, before you hit the Keys. Mega, mega farmer's market. It would take you just half a day to walk through the whole thing, and these come right out of the fields, right out of the fields where they're picked. And I'll go and I'll find some really fun things for you. I'll find some really fun.
I love that.
And they have a lot of oriental vegetables and fruit because they're easy to
Ooh.
Grow. Yeah. So I'll send you a lot of different things, okay? We'll have fun with it.
That would be great. Yeah. No,
yeah,
I'm loving the idea
to.
Of sending her on the cruise, not just for the food, but I've been doing a lot of research. I've only been on one cruise, so I do feel like maybe I should, for the sake of the book, go on one quickly between now and when it comes out. But
well,
so many
go.
Of the staff on the cruise lines are international, too. So I was reading a lot
they
about
are.
How the staff will cook an entirely different meal for themselves than what the passengers are having. And a lot of it is
yes.
that, you know, Asian-inspired and all this sort of fusion
yes.
food. So I'm excited to
yes.
potentially work some of those in, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting. Some of the food that I've had has been spectacular. Now, you know, your breakfast and lunch are kind of whatever they are, but dinner, you know, you can order off a menu and they have some amazing food. And of course, when it's chef night and they parade in all the desserts and all the first the entrees and then,
yes,
you know, with fireworks and sparklers and all the desserts and the, all the carvings with the food and everything else. Oh, it's magnificent, Ellie. I'm going to have to find some pictures and send them to you, too. Magnificent. But
okay,
you know what's funny? All my friends from down here are cruising in Alaska now. They're headed up to the Pacific Northwest. Apparently, you guys are a destination cruise place now. Yes, you're a destination cruise now. I have so many friends that are on cruises heading up there. Isn't that cool?
It's so beautiful. Yeah, we've been to it that way a few times. And the nature that you see and the landscape is just stunning. And I've heard from friends who have done, I haven't done a cruise to Alaska, but I've heard that the food on those ships is particularly, I mean, especially if you love seafood, because like you're talking about the crab,
yes,
it's salmon and it's king crab and it's
right
there. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, if you ever decide to come to Florida, I'll give you the grand tour. I'll take time off and give you the grand tour because there are some really spectacular places to go and, you know, catch your own dinner and things like that that are yummy and to some really remarkable farmers markets and food places and I'd love to chauffeur you around, you and your family. And come down and participate in Southwest Reader's Fest.
Tour.
There you go. We could do that.
That would be great.
We could do that.
Okay.
Tell everybody where they can find you. We will. Tell everybody where we can find you on the net and in social media.
Yes. So I'm online at bakeshopmystery.com. And then I'm on Facebook at Ellie Alexander Author. Same for Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm Bake Shop Mystery. And I try to respond to mail all the time.
Oh, you're really good about that, I have to say. If you Google, if you just put in Ellie Alexander Author in Google, the Bake Shop Mystery page comes right up. It's not hard to find her. And her page is so user-friendly. You don't have to go skipping around all over the place to find anything out. It's just right there. And no, you know, it doesn't, the music doesn't start and then you have to stop it. And then, you know, the pages aren't flipping over, so you need to wear special glasses. It's a wonderful website to go to and lots of fun. Ellie, I just adore you. I'm so glad that we chatted so casually today. And congratulations on the success of all of your books. I can't wait for Fudge and Jury, which will be out in January, and then over the summer when Cruise of Passion Fruit, is that right? Cruise of Passion
Fruit? A Crime of Passion Fruit.
Oh, A Crime of Passion Fruit. A Crime of
Terrible.
Passion
I know.
Fruit. Okay. No, well, you know, and you have passion fruit, so you know what you're doing, right? You've got to look for passion fruit.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, so I can't wait because I love that flavor. It's a wonderful flavor. And so I'm sure the books are going to be just as wonderful as the first four of them are. Thank you so much for being with me. And you promise that you'll come back and be a guest host one day.
Absolutely. Yes, I would love to. Thanks for having me. I always have so much fun with you. And now I have multiple ideas running through my head. I really now think I'm going to get a fingerprint off a recipe card. That's happening.
I'm telling you, I am in the wrong business. I should be like dreaming up ideas. It would be just so much fun, wouldn't it? Stay with me for just a half a second here. Everybody, on Wednesday at 1 o'clock, a special time, we have a three-week special series with the magnificent Jacqueline Michard. She is doing the Summer Scribes. She is your guest host on Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and her first guest is Laura Moe, author. So please join us then, and I'll announce who I'm going to be talking to on Monday night. Maybe nobody. Maybe I'm going to listen to Jackie. In the meantime, please go get Ellie Alexander's Bake Shop Mystery books. You're going to enjoy them so much. Ellie, you're a doll. You and I will talk again soon, yes?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for coming on. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that's our show for tonight, everyone. Thank you so much for being with me. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.